stands amazed when he tells the story.
You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
Welcome to Thy Word is a Lamp. This is a family Bible teaching ministry. Today you will be listening to our Bible teacher, Sheila Suarez.
Praise the name of Jesus. We praise the Lord. We thank God for his goodness towards us, his mercies and his grace. We thank him that we can be here to continue the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we are in the gospel writings of Mark. And we started out with Mark 1. Now we are at Mark 2. And we see Mark gospel writings emphasizes the actions and deeds of Jesus. Jesus is on the move, healing, casting out devils, performing miracles and teaching. In the synagogues, we see those quite clearly. And we see the gospel writings of Mark shows Jesus moving at a rapid pace. We see things slowing down a bit when Jesus arrived in Jerusalem just before his crucifixion. So Mark toned it down a bit during that time. So Mark is the same John Mark, the son of Mary. And we see that we can read about that Mary in Acts 12:12-17. She is the one whose house they had gathered in to pray for Peter. So they are the mother of John Mark. And we see also Mark went on Paul's missionary journey. Paul and Barnabas, their first missionary journey, they took John Mark. And we see that he left and came back to Jerusalem. So this is the same Mark who wrote the book of Mark, the gospel writings of Mark. And he wrote to the Romans. So the Romans didn't want more detail. They just want to hear, you know, about the happenings of Jesus, what did. So Mark wrote to the Romans, and we see in his first verse, he spoke about the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So this is his theme, telling us about Jesus Christ, the divine Son of God, who was clothed in flesh, but he was also divinity. So we see Mark spoke of Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And we see the works of Jesus Christ here as portrayed by the writer Mark. So we are going to pray and begin Mark 2. We are going to pray and begin Mark 2. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your goodness, your grace, and your mercy. We thank you for allowing us to be here at this time, O God, to go through your word. Father, we thank you that your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We thank you, O God, that your word brings forth illumination. Your words bring forth revelation, knowledge that transforms us. And we thank you for your word this evening. Thank you, O God Almighty, that we can come together to hear your word. Father, we pray today that we will not just be hearers of your word, but be doers of your word. Hear our cry, mighty God. Holy Spirit of God, we pray today that you'll guide us into all truth. For your word tells us that you are the comforter who will come and you will guide us into all truth and you will teach us all things. So teach us this evening as we come humbly before you. And we pray, O God, in the name of Jesus, our hearts and minds will be fixed on you, that we will hear what you're saying and that we will obey what you're saying. Father, we thank you, we give you glory, and we give you praise as we continue in this book of Mark. We look to you by faith and give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we are reading from Mark 2. We're continuing in the book of Mark. So we see Jesus working among the people, and he was casting out devils, he was healing the sick, he was teaching and preaching, and we see all of these good things were going on. The Messiah was here, but many failed to recognize him. But he came to do good, and he was doing good. So we are going to look at verse 1 of Mark 2 using the New King James Version. The Bible said that again he entered Capernaum, after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. And verse 2 said, immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. So Jesus entered again into Capernaum. So that means he was here before, but he went away and came back. So it was announced that he was in the house. The people heard that Jesus was in the house. Immediately the people gathered to hear him, that there was no place for the people, not even near the door. The place was so crowded that not even near the door, there was no place there. The place was so packed, and the Lord God was there, and he preached the word to them. The word said in verse 3 of Mark 2, New King James Version, then they came to him. They came to him bringing a paralytic man who was carried by four men. So the four men carried that paralyzed man to Jesus. They were looking for healing for this man. So the Bible said in verse 4 of Mark 2, and when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. So we see these men could not get through to Jesus. The crowd was so thick, they could not get through to Jesus. So what they did, they uncovered the roof of the house, people of God. Stop and think. These men took time to take off the roof to let down their friend through the roof. So we see, people of God, how they pushed to find Jesus. So we must find a way to Jesus. So they said, we must find a way to Jesus. So they took off the roof. The word didn't say that they fixed back the roof. They took off the roof. They broke through the roof. And they let down the paralytic man on the bed right in front of Jesus. So we see, people of God, these men decided, their purpose in their heart, that they must get away. They must find a way to Jesus. So the place was crowded. So they had now to go on the roof and let down that paralytic man through the roof. So when Jesus saw their faith, verse 5 says of Mark 2, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven you. So the Bible said when Jesus saw the faith of the four men, Jesus observed the faith of the four men. So they believed that Jesus was able to heal this man. So they took him. He wasn't able to walk. He was paralyzed. The Bible said he was a paralytic. He was paralyzed. He was not able to walk. So they took him on his bed. And somehow that bed is like a mat. So they released him. So they let him down through the roof on that mat or on that bed. So Jesus observed the faith of these four men who let down that paralytic through the roof. He said to the paralyzed man that his sins were forgiven. People of God, these people took the man there for physical healing. But Jesus saw that this man was also in need of salvation. So Jesus, who knows everything, knows what was priority. So although the man was paralyzed and needed physical healing, he needed healing of his soul more than anything else. So we see, people of God, many times we place a lot of emphasis on the physical man, but the soul man is dying. So Jesus, even though those men brought this paralytic to Jesus, they were thinking of his physical healing. But Jesus saw beyond that. He needed healing of his soul. So Jesus prioritized his healing. It's not that he wasn't going to heal him physically. But he prioritized his healing. So the word tells us in verse 6 of Mark 2, some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in themselves, reasoning in their hearts. They were saying, why does this man speak blasphemies like he does? Who can forgive sin but God alone? So we see the religious leaders were reasoning in their hearts about Jesus. They said he was blaspheming because only God alone can forgive sin. They did not perceive that this is the Messiah King, the Son of God. They did not know that he is divine. He is the Son of God, and he is able to forgive sins. So they did not know him, people of God, and we need to know him. We need to know him in such a personal way that we will find a way to him. We see these four men knew that Jesus, the healer, was in the house. So people of God, he did not only come to heal physically, but to heal spiritually, to heal emotionally, to heal mentally, to heal socially, to heal financially. Jesus came to make us whole. So we have to find a way to him, find a way to Jesus, and know that he is God. They were there saying that Jesus was blaspheming because they did not know that he is the perfect God-man, the Son of God. They were saying he's blaspheming because only God can forgive sin. But they did not know that the perfect God-man was with them. They did not know that the Messiah King was there. The Son of God was with them. But they did not know. Jesus himself cried over Jerusalem. He said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I wish that I could put you under my wings. I could gather you as a hen gather her chicks under her wings. But you wouldn't let me. You wouldn't allow it. So we see they failed to believe that these miracles were of God. They failed to believe that this is the Son of God. So they were there reasoning in their hearts about Jesus, criticizing him. Look at verse 8 of Mark chapter 2. But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, why do you reason about these things in your heart? Verse 9 said, which is easier? Jesus continues to speak. Which is easier? To say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise, take up your bed, and walk. But look at verse 10. Jesus was giving them the reason. But that you may know, that you may know that the Son of Man, I am the Son of Man, but the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sin. So he is the Son of Man, and he's also the Son of God, the perfect God-man. We must know in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So we must know who he is. He is the Son of Man. He's the Son of God. Son of Man, Son of God. That you may know that the Son of Man, he came in, fashioned in human flesh. So he's the Son of Man. But he's also the Son of God. He laid down his divine privileges and came to earth. People of God, he did not think that he was robbing himself of his divinity. No, he came as divine. But he laid down his privileges that was in heaven. And he came here to earth, clothed in the robe of flesh, that he himself calls himself the Son of Man because he came in sinful flesh, but he had no sin of his own. He's a perfect God-man. He is fully God and fully man, not half God and half man. Fully God, fully man. He's divine, people of God. So he has power So he said to them, but that you may know, I want you to know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. The Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins. I come clothed in flesh, but I still have my authority. I am still divine, fully God, fully man. So they must know and understand. I want you to know. So Jesus gave the reason for forgiving this paralytic man. He said that the religious people may know that he has power on earth to forgive sins. He is the Messiah. He is the anointed one. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. The Word said, he has the power, the authority. All authority is given to him on earth and in heaven. So we must understand the God that we serve. We must understand who Jesus is. We must know him personally. Paul said that I may know him. That I may know him. People of God, and that I may experience his resurrection power. I may know the power of his resurrection. I may experience his resurrection power. I may take part in his suffering. That's what Paul was saying. I may conform to his death. I must die to self daily so that I can live for Christ. So Jesus said that you may know. You must know that the Son of Man has power. He has authority. He has exclusive power. He has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the paralytic, if I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. If I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. So look at verse 12. Immediately he arose. This man knew authority. This man knew that the Son of God was speaking with the authority he has. If I say to you, go, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. Immediately he arose. He didn't hesitate. Immediately he arose, took up his bed, and went into the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. People of God, Jesus forgave the sin of this man first. We must take note of this. The sin of this man was forgiven first. But we see where he was criticized by the religious rulers, saying, who is he? Who is he? Many times they look down on Jesus. Who is he? Just a man from Nazareth. Just a man from Galilee. Who is he? That he is forgiving sin. Only God has the power to forgive sin. But little did they know that the beloved Son of God was with them. And he has all authority to forgive sins and to heal the paralytic man physically also. So people of God, Jesus is here not just to heal physically. Many of us have our physical ailments and we come to Jesus. And Jesus wants to heal our souls, people of God. Our soul man needs healing. So he told the man to take up his bed and to go to his house, and he did so immediately. This man was obedient to the voice of Jesus. Are we obedient to him? What is he telling us? He told the man to take up his bed and go to his house, and the man did so immediately. The man didn't wait. The man didn't ask Jesus any question. He just took up his bed and walked. The people present were amazed and started to give God the glory. They said they have never seen anything like this. We must be amazed at the work of Jesus. He's always working in our lives. He's always working on our behalf. Let us see his miracle working power daily. Daily he's working on our behalf, people of God. And no one can restrain him. He is our strong deliverer. He is our mighty rescuer. So people of God, he's always on a rescue mission. And each day we are rescued from from things unseen. Miracles are happening in our lives. Let us ask the Lord to show us. And let us give him the glory and the praise that belong to him. For he's always at work. He is always at work. He knows what we need most. Sometimes what we think we need most is not what we need most. The soul man needs healing more than anything else. So we want to be people who call upon him daily. And he will answer us and show us some great and mighty things that we don't know. The Bible said in verse 13. Then he went out again by the sea. And all the multitude came to him and he taught them. Jesus went out again by the seaside. And all the crowd of people came to him. Crowd came to him. He was popular, people of God. He was popular because something was happening in his ministry. When something starts to happen in our ministry that God has given us, then people of God, the crowd will follow us. We don't have to go on social media to announce ourselves. The crowd will follow us. Well, let us be obedient to the voice of the Lord and do what he says. And we are going to see great miracles. Signs and wonders will follow believers. We will start to believe God's word and do what he says. We see the people flocked him. The crowd was coming to him. Wherever he went, the crowd was coming. But he didn't just sit there and look at the crowd. The word said he taught them. People of God, people need to be taught. They need to learn. They need to learn kingdom principles that they will live a life holy and pleasing to God. So people get saved. We don't just have them saved and think that we shouldn't teach them. They must be taught. So Jesus took every time that he had on his hand to teach the people that were around him. So we must follow the example of Jesus Christ and we must teach as we go along the journey. We must teach. The people came, the people were there, the crowd was there, but Jesus did something that many people are not doing. He taught them. So we must also teach those that come around us. Let us not just look and say, oh, we have a great crowd here. But are we feeding the crowd? So we must teach the people of God the word of God so that their lives can be changed. When learning has taken place, there will be a change in behavior. So when we as God's people started to teach the principles of the kingdom, many will come to know the Lord and know what is required of them. So we have to do our part in teaching and preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. Verse 14 of Mark 2, the word says, and as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, follow me. So he arose and followed him. We see Jesus passing by the tax office and saw Levi or Matthew, the same Matthew, other name was Levi, and said to him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. The Bible didn't say he hesitated. He arose and followed Jesus. So there was something about the call of Jesus. There was something about the call of Jesus. We saw he called four men prior to this. We saw in Mark 1 where he called Simon and Andrew, his brother. He said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. In Mark 16, he said, follow me. Mark 17, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. So he saw them casting their net in Mark 1:16, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. They immediately, the Bible said, left their nets and followed him. Follow me. They didn't ask any question. The word didn't say they asked any question. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed Jesus. Now there's something about the call of Jesus, people of God. There's some magnetism in the call of Jesus that they cannot help themselves but follow him. So we see that they didn't hesitate. They didn't ask any question. They just followed him. The same thing happened to John and James. James and John, they were with their father. The Bible tells us they were with their father. They were also fishermen. They were in the boat mending their nets. The verse of, in verse 19 of chapter 1 of Mark. And verse 20 said, and immediately he called them. And they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went after Jesus. There's something about the call of Jesus. There's this magnetism, people of God, that they can't resist. So they, the Bible said they left their father and the hired servant in the boat and went after Jesus. So they followed Jesus. So the word tells us now that he passed by the tax office and saw the son of Alphaeus sitting in the office. His name was Levi, also called Matthew. And he said to him, follow me. The Bible said, he arose and followed him. So Matthew arose and followed Jesus. Jesus passing by said, follow me. He arose and followed him. He followed him without any questions. He followed him without any hesitation. The word tells us he followed Jesus. So we see Jesus was calling his disciples. He already called four, and now he called Matthew to come and follow him. But we didn't see where they asked any questions, but they followed Jesus willingly. So we are to follow him willingly. When he calls us, people of God, we are to answer, and we are to follow him wherever he leads us. Let us be followers of Jesus Christ, not just people who are saved and in the church, but be truly followers of Jesus Christ, hearing his voice and following him. Let us know his voice. My sheep know my voice and they follow me. So we want to know his voice and follow him. So we want to be like these men, these disciples who, as Jesus called them, they followed him without hesitating and they went and followed Jesus. They arose and followed him as he called them. So we should arise and follow Jesus as he calls us. God bless you. We'll stop here this evening. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for your word to us. Thank you, O God, for reminding us of the power of the Holy Spirit who is in us. So as we go along from day to day, O God, remind us of the authority that we have as your people and that we will use that authority to bring honor and glory to your name. Father, we give you thanks and praise and look to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful weekend. Continue to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In the Lord is
love. Reproofs of instruction. Thank you very much for listening to our Family Bible Teaching Ministry. Let's hope you have been blessed by this wonderful word. Thy word is a lamp. You can reach us at 561-667-8477. 561-667-8477. Join us again next week at the same time. Thy word is a lamp.